Welcome, everyone. This is The Dot Matrix, episode 4. I'm Justin.
And this is Sean.
And this is our first one for 2008.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
It is exciting, especially after our long, drawn-out episode 3 at the end of the year. We had to get cut off. We'll have to finish that one, actually. So episode 4 is almost episode 3 Redux of part 3.
Yeah.
But first of all, let me just say, one thing's really bothering me. I think I stink today. I've been thinking about that. Do I smell? Like, do you have...
I haven't noticed.
Okay,
I can say that honestly.
Thank goodness. You don't have to tell me if I smell really nice, but I don't stink, do I?
No, I don't.
Because
so.
I've been using the word hoofing all weekend, but I've
yes.
been hoofing around the last couple of days on the bus all over the place, and I just keep smelling bad smells, and I keep wondering, is it me, or is it someone else on the bus? And
probably someone else.
That's what I'm hoping, because I kept saying, like, and you have no idea how much I put my nose underneath my shirt. You know,
how many people saw you do that?
I know, and I'm thinking, is it me? Is it me? And like, I don't know, I was on the beeline just now getting here, and all it was were women around me, and usually
yeah.
women smell nice.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, something smells, it's gotta be me, I'm the only guy around, and then I just...
Get self-conscious.
I got really self-conscious. Because I've been running after so many buses today, it was incredible the day, actually. Like, just...
Well, I was going to say, we had a good bus ride. I told you about our bus ride this morning.
Yes, yes.
We bus rode to Richmond and to the airport, and we saw, for the first time, Elaine, I saw on 3 Road, the big SkyTrain.
Oh, yes.
They're building, and
yes.
never seen, like, only barely from a distance.
Right.
We've never been riding alongside it, and
right.
I couldn't believe how many restaurants or buildings had their marquees blocked by it when you look
right.
head on.
Right.
Believe it, but quite something. Yeah,
yeah, that's what happens when you mass transit a huge amount right in one go. So.
It's progress, I guess.
I guess.
But it was a good ride though, because everything came pretty quickly.
Nice.
It was 3 buses to get from Commercial Drive area to South Richmond, so it was a bit of a long haul. Like, by the time we got off the
right.
last bus, we were thinking, wow, that felt like most of the morning. It took forever, but went smoothly. Oh, and we boarded wrong.
You boarded wrong?
We got yelled at by the bus driver today.
Oh, because you went onto the B-line thinking you could get on any of the doors?
Yes.
And you cannot.
No. What the hell?
Yeah, well, it's weird because they made it, I mean, for those people who don't know, in the Lower Mainland and SkyTrain or any sort of bus system, it's just like most, where you have to show your ticket to the bus driver, except
okay.
for SkyTrain you don't, right? Because it's different, because it's the mass transit one. I don't, most subways you don't have to show your ticket, but for
right.
buses you normally do.
Yeah.
And because, and it was the 2 months ago where they made a big fanfare that because all these bus drivers are getting beat up by passengers, that they were going to do this fare-free zone, right?
Okay.
Which is what we all know now, at least who live in the Lower Mainland of Vancouver, where you're not supposed, you don't have, where the bus driver doesn't have to show, you have to show the bus driver the ticket, you just board any bus, and especially more for those longer buses where you've got
mm-hmm.
a couple of different entrances.
Okay.
And a big fanfare that way, you know, the bus driver doesn't have to argue with passengers about fare, they can just worry about riding the bus, and it's supposed to alleviate that conflict and that extra bit.
Right.
And you know, maybe trains or buses board faster. And a huge fanfare, the huge press thing, and a lot of news about it, but the only bus where I've seen that's even, that you can even do it, and I don't ride
Could
every,
be more
every
but,
line,
but yeah.
And the only bus is the 99B line that goes along West Broadway.
Yeah.
That's the only one.
That's the only one I know of.
And many times people go on the 98 thinking it's the same way, because it's another B line,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
But it's,
why wouldn't they?
I know, I would do the same thing too, but they're like, no, you gotta go through the front, and the only reason my assumption is that because the B line that goes into Richmond, which is a suburb of Vancouver, you cross 2 fare zones.
Okay.
Right? And because of that, maybe that's why they want people to show it. That's
oh,
the only difference.
That's, right.
that's the only difference between the other, the West Broadway
okay.
faster bus B line, because that was only in the Vancouver zone.
Right.
While the 98 goes from Vancouver to Richmond. That's the only thing I can think of why they don't do it that way.
I got confused because Elaine's like, hey, can we do this here? And I'm thinking, yeah, because I looked for that sticker. It says fare.
Oh, yeah, see,
paid zone.
And that sticker is a misnomer because it's on everything.
It is now, isn't it?
And
yeah.
the sign you have to look for is the sign on the bus stop that has, when it says 3-door
oh,
entry.
Oh, okay.
That's the one you need to look for.
I felt like an ass, because she's like, she was saying it because of our safety, but she was really not pleased that we did that.
Right.
And I was like, yes, ma'am. Like, I was just like, don't hurt me.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where if you're going to make a huge announcement about it and people know about it, like, great. You should make it across the board.
Across the board.
You know, like, it should be on every bus, even if it's just the one entrance bus. You know, like, they should just not have to worry about showing thing at all. But
interesting.
I don't get why they only did it for that one line, at least from what I can tell. So
thanks for clearing that up.
Wow, we wasted 5 minutes on that. Well, let's get into what we want. I know there's a few things on your list, and I've jotted down a number of things as I've been sort of going along my last couple of weeks. But let's finish off what we were going to do at the end of the last episode, which was you had your top event from 2007.
Yes.
And so I've been curious for
weeks.
2 weeks. And I didn't, when we did the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I hadn't really thought about sort of my biggest event for 2007 or what I thought was the biggest event.
Yeah.
So I had to think about one for 2 weeks as we were, I was glad we got cut off, right? but enough with the suspense, Sean. What is the big thing?
Okay. Well, for me, it wasn't a happy event, actually. It was a sad one, and that was the tasering of Robert Zikansky.
Oh, okay.
I hope I said his last name properly.
And we've talked about it in an earlier, I think episode 2 maybe?
We did. I think we did actually touch on it quite a bit, actually, in that episode.
So go back and listen to it. It's online.
That's
it's
right.
On our
episode 2, I believe.
TheDotMatrix.com and on your iTunes.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's the plug.
I felt strongly about that just because I think just the level of shock and disbelief, and I won't go into all the details because we already talked about it, but I thought that was... It was a huge thing. It was in the paper day after day after day after day,
mm-hmm.
and it was a really sad event. It was, for me, the big thing was how it was caught on film very well, and you know, in the kind of YouTube generation we have now, where everyone's
right.
filming everything, everyone's watching everything.
Right.
You could spend hours on YouTube just being entertained, obviously, but this I couldn't bring myself to watch the video. I know we discussed that as well,
mm-hmm.
but seeing the pictures and hear, I heard the audio at some point, and I was just disgusted. I was saddened and. I thought that was pretty much, obviously more local, but it reverberated around the world.
Right.
That's why I thought that was the biggest event, for the lack of a better term, biggest story, biggest issue that we faced, I think, because it raised a lot of questions, a lot of confidence questions, a lot of,
right.
you know, just as a modern society, like, what the hell's going on, you know?
Right, right.
So that's what I, it wasn't, you know, a happy, jolly kind of event where we're all excited. It was a very serious, somber event that I thought was, that basically was the biggest thing that kind of happened, I think, for last year, yeah.
That's very interesting. First of all, as you were talking, I was kind of sniffling, so I apologize for the sniffling that you'll hear out there. I don't know, my nose was fine until I got here.
Today?
I'm just falling apart.
You're sneezing once you got here.
Yeah, I'm sneezing and I'm smelling. I don't know. But one thing I thought was really interesting about that is I saw the video, I mean, and if you were able to watch it and you didn't mind watching, I mean, you couldn't help but see it hundreds of times. Every
sure.
news thing had it, like, hundreds of times they showed it. But what it really was interesting is that it says a lot about, this says a lot about law enforcement and tasers and the safety of it and all those issues which have been well described.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, what the big thing that I took away from it was sort of what you talked about briefly is about, like, the YouTube generation, or, like, everything is caught on some sort of film, some sort of audio, or
right.
what have you, and it's not so much that point, but the point that you can't spin things, like, you want, well, I mean, the one
yeah.
lessons could be, like, well, you know, you shouldn't take, as a viewer, or as a public, you shouldn't take what everyone says, as at face value, like
right.
everything's going to have a spin on it. Everything's going to have
like a couple of sides.
Yeah,
to
a couple
it.
Of sides to it, and it was this example was a huge example of how when the RCMP describes what happened in the video, I mean, without context, it clearly shows. Well, it wasn't that. It was the exact opposite.
That's right.
Right, and
that
so
scared people,
and so it says a lot also about if I'm in a position of power of authority. That you should be careful how you spin things.
Yeah.
And you know what? You should err and just tell the truth. And
yeah.
if you really don't know and if you've been giving wrong information, come out and say, you know, I said that this didn't happen.
Yeah.
It happened in such and such a way. 20 minutes later after I did that statement, someone else said came to me and said, oh, well, actually, he wasn't struggling. We just sort of took him down, right?
Yeah.
Like, to come out later and say, you know, even before the footage comes out, you should always be truthful. In
yeah.
some, you know, as much as you can. I mean,
whatever
you're
whatever
able,
you're able
to,
do,
right?
Say, yeah.
Because by letting that video come out and not being prepared to say, you know, we fucked up,
mm-hmm.
we told you lies, or
mm-hmm.
whatever,
yeah.
there would be a lot more respect. And I think that is a lesson for spokespeople everywhere, or whatever, you know, politicians, anyone of authority, like, you know, there's
yeah.
elections going on,
yeah.
in the primaries in the U.S., which we'll get to,
yes.
and even there's by-elections actually out in Canada, too, and my riding in particular is one,
oh.
And that's going to be in March, so it's a lesson that, you know, you just gotta remember that truth is, you can never err from the truth, or, you know, and if you don't know, just say, there's nothing
or,
wrong with saying, I don't know.
Or if you can't comment because of some top guy that's saying don't comment in case you're incriminating yourself, that's
yeah.
at least better than
yeah.
directly being contradicted by
yeah.
a video.
Yeah. And for me, that's really the interesting piece about it, that
right.
we live in a society where you can't, you're not allowed to screw up that way. And I don't think you should be able to lie and not, or to say something that's completely different and
right.
not be accountable to say,
right.
sorry, I totally got it wrong.
That's right.
And there's no shame in saying that.
No.
I think, you know?
And I think you're right. I think that's a very, very big point, and I think that's what a lot of people were feeling. So that was my big moment. Well, not mine, but that was the moment I thought that kind of defined last year, even though it was in the latter quarter, I think, that
right.
that happened. But when I think of 2007, I think of things that happened, for better or for worse, I think that was definitely the worst, and
hmm.
but most eventful. So
right.
So there we go. So that was to cap off the end of the year and our discussions of 2007.
Right.
So now we can look forward again.
Yes. Well, and I did a little bit of thinking. I tried to think of what can I say that was my big thing for 2007. And I couldn't think of anything that was newsworthy in that sense. But one thing that I will have to say, and anyone who knows me knows that when my brother and sister-in-law had their first child, my first niece...
Yes.
Was born in at the end of August. That kind of obviously is the event for me, and
for
on a personal
sure.
level, not on a newsworthy level,
mm-hmm.
and not so much because I have a niece that it's actually mine, and who will call me uncle or Suk Suk as it's known.
Yes,
at least in how my positioning is in how you say it in Cantonese.
Mm-hmm.
But it really emphasized a lot of things in my world
mm-hmm.
about my. Biological clock, let's say, or my
gets you
my eggs getting dusty and dry, or whatever you want to call it. But like, it, in some ways it does, but in many ways about just like now that I have, I'm around this baby girl that I see on a regular basis.
Mm.
Like it amazes me how much I change, how much I realize that I'm not in my early mid 20s anymore.
Constantly.
You know, I'm now. In my 30s, which is a great place to be.
Yeah.
And that I'm not thinking about, you know, what am I going to do Friday night? And where
yeah.
am I going to get some fun stuff to do on Saturday? Or
I still
or,
think about
you know,
that, but okay.
Oh, and but more importantly, how I view kids now. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, every time, you know, every time Gavin does something really cute, you're like, your heart melts, you know?
For
like,
sure.
And before, I mean... I don't think it would have melted in the same way, and
yeah.
or when I see a baby just on the street, I go,
"Oh,
you know, like
yeah.
you have a much more affectionate reaction, or I do right now for children than more standoffish as it was in the past, or just
yeah.
sort of not, I guess, more indifference. I mean, you didn't,
yeah, or neutral.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's better, neutral.
Yeah.
So that the birth of my niece really helped me crystallize that idea that I had shifted. In a,
that's
you know,
nice.
Yeah. And
that's
and,
cool.
And it sort of had shifted it in a certain way a couple of years ago. I mean, I for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been more interested in, let's say, movies that have parents and children strong relationships, or somehow a person steps up to the plate and becomes a better parent, or, you know, like parental storylines have actually interested me a lot more lately.
Yeah.
Which, you know, are kind of those family dramas that I would scoff at, you know, it's nothing like, you know, Woody Allen's latest, which talks about, you know, dating and the how you view culture. Like, you know,
I
still love those movies too, right? But I let other things interest me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just really solidified that whole shift, you know, like, that's sort of my event,
well, so. I think that's really cool, because when you do mention your niece, like, I do get that kind of, like, warmth coming from your voice. So I feel that from you. Like, I get that. That's something that someone does when they're having their own child, or someone
mm-hmm.
directly related to them, or our close friends who have Gavin, and that's where I think our first cognizance of that was when Gavin came along. And
absolutely.
And they were now we see other kids, like you're saying, you see other kids, and you're like, they're not yours, you don't know them, but you think about it, you look at them a different way, you feel different things, and even I can feel that. And I think that's very cool, and I think it's more of a new level of tenderness that comes.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, did I think I could be that way? Like,
I know.
Especially for guys, I think, too, like, it's not...
Us dudes.
I know. Because you know what a guy's guy I am.
Oh, and me too, right? Yes, absolutely.
Social commentators, sorry.
Playing touch football this morning or something, right?
I know.
Oh, sorry, full contact with touch football.
Touch, you mean full-on tackle, yeah.
It's funny how that's where my mind went, what, it's a touch?
Flag football, yeah.
Yeah, anyways, we should edit that.
Yeah, we might go over the podcast and kind of make that smoother transition to our next topic. But
speaking of that, let's move on.
Yeah, cool.
I want to talk about something about 2008, but let's get into some of the other topics that at least are interesting. You want to talk about the U.S. elections, and
I want to talk
about them too, because
good.
I mean, Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primaries, and only recently said someone explained to me the difference between caucuses or primaries or what exactly were they. Like, it's still confusing
to
some degree.
It's still confusing, yeah.
But anyways, that's all going on in the U.S. down there. They're trying to pick a presidential candidates for each party, and but I mean, that's the big news in the last. I mean, I have to say, I mean, I like you, I'm probably fascinated by it, and
it makes
we have nothing to say about it in terms of our ability to vote or anything, but it's just, it impacts everyone, like everyone, right? So
it totally does.
But you were gonna say something, so I wanted
Well, my big thing was I was on Wikipedia, and
the source of all things truthiness.
And I think I'm a pretty good judge of what you can consider close to factual compared to not.
Right.
For the things that I think I know about.
Oh, can I tell a little side story quickly about that before you get...
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I went onto Wikipedia because I was very curious as to... Like, I haven't watched ER in years, but Stanley Tucci was supposed to be the new big doctor, head of the ER on ER, the show.
Yep.
And then suddenly, apparently he left the show already. I'm like, oh, I thought he was a permanent star going to be on there for years.
Oh, okay.
But his character left a couple of, probably in November or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know why. I wanted to know why.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Wikipedia,
mm-hmm.
and it just very vague. It didn't say anything. He had an affair with one of the characters, and then suddenly he was gone. And something about his brother or something. Actually, so if anyone knows and watches ER, who's drop us a line on email or something, or a post on our website, let me know, because I'm very curious on why he left.
Okay.
And but then I was on Wikipedia, and I thought I found the what I was looking for. There's a page on Wikipedia that talked about the minor doctors on ER.
Oh,
so all
yeah,
the characters
yeah.
that were minor, and apparently he's a minor character.
Okay.
I'm like, great, there's a section on him. And it didn't say. He just said...
Really?
It just, his last episode was November 26th. And I'm like...
That's odd.
And I wanted to write on Wikipedia that he left the show because he was eaten by an elephant. And just to see if anyone would change it to what it really was. So, anyway, that was my story about Wikipedia. So,
that's hilarious. Because you know someone would catch that probably within an hour.
That's
right. You
know
what I mean? We should ask Elaine after this, because she watches it regularly,
actually. Oh, good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, she tries to. I mean, she does see a lot of episodes, so...
Cool.
I think she may have heard. She would probably find the soundbite about that.
But anyways, I've digressed you all the way away from that to ER.
That's okay.
Let's go back to the U.S. elections, and you were on Wikipedia.
I was on Wikipedia because I had a moment there where I was just waiting for something to happen at work. And no, literally, like, you know, there was a couple of minutes and I was waiting for something to go through, something to happen. And,
right.
And so I thought, oh, I just wanted to just check, like, who's really left in the Democrats? You know, like,
right.
Who do we got, you know? And the thing I noticed on Wikipedia was that they explained, like, the difference between the caucuses and the,
oh, okay.
the different type of primaries and stuff. And like you, I still, like, I thought I got it at the time. When I think back, I'm like, do I really get the difference?
Right.
But I'm amazed at the level of discussion that primaries raise in the States. Like, about, I mean, it's all about politics down there. Like, everywhere.
Yeah.
And I wish we had that same... I don't like to be closer to the States, but I wish we had that some type of level of discussion like that up here.
Right.
When our guys, you know, men and women run. But,
right.
So anyway, I thought, okay, well, who's this Mike Gravel guy? And I read a bit up on him, and...
So where is he a governor, or was he a governor?
He used to be a senator, and he's a businessman. Like, he's kind of gone in and out of politics.
Okay.
But he's not a current senator.
What state is he from?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I can't remember. But I was mainly kind of like, okay, well, what is it about this guy? Like, why is he still in it, you know?
Yep.
And he has a royal following, actually, online. And that's the thing, because he's still going. He
right.
hasn't, you know, put his endorsement behind someone else. Like, he's kind of like one of those underdogs, but he's very frank about what he thinks about his co-nominees.
Yeah.
Potential nominees like Obama and Hillary Clinton and Edwards, especially.
Yeah.
And if you go to his website, there's a YouTube video of an interview talking
okay.
with him, and we'll post the link
okay.
so people can see that. Just because I found it fascinating, because he's Noam Chomsky really likes him. And I thought, okay, if Noam Chomsky likes him, then he must be really telling it like it is, you know? And he does. Like, he just goes on about how, what the other guys say and how it's not going to happen. Like, Edwards taking on corporate America, interest groups. He's like, he'll literally sit there and he'll say, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Why raise the false hopes? There's nothing he can do about that, you know? And then he talks about Obama, talking about change, and then he goes... It's just really disturbing. Like, what kind of change can this guy bring on it? It's dashing the hopes. It's breeding a whole new generation of cynics. And he's
right.
very almost negative.
Interesting.
And I thought, wow, like, he's really slamming his fellow nominees. Like, when the thing that got me was that these guys should be showing how united they are, even though they're competing for the top
right.
spot. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I thought, if we saw a little bit more, like, okay, fine, be critical, but also say some of their good
right.
Things, like, things about them. And I thought, maybe they can actually start to change the process down there. And but I was kind of turned off by it. I was turned on about his frankness, but I was turned off about how negative he was. And
right.
he never gave one indication of what he would do, which I found. So
right.
I was mainly talking about the others. So I thought I'd bring that up because I wasn't sure. We talked briefly before this, and you were saying that you have heard of him, but you haven't seen much. And
I just heard the name. I really have no idea.
Yeah, so it's
yeah.
just like, I found that fascinating because it's right there on his, right in the middle of his website, and it's you know, it's not the best looking site or anything, but it's gets
right.
the information out, gets his attitudes out there, and a lot of people love how, like, Noam Chomsky is like, this guy's the guy, you know? Like, he was against Vietnam back in the day, like, he was...
Right.
So he's basically isolated from the political mainstream, I think.
Okay.
So I don't think the other guys think too highly of him, I'm not really sure, but...
Huh.
I thought I'd broach that, because you're always hearing about the top three, but...
Right.
But it's interesting to find out something about one of those other guys that you never hear about.
Yeah, I saw, I mean, watching the whole thing, and when Clinton won New Hampshire, I actually kind of wanted her to win New Hampshire, because I didn't want it
oh, yeah?
to be... I wanted them to both win one, like Obama in Iowa and Clinton in New Hampshire. Then it's like a horse race, right? And
yeah.
everyone talking about it. Because if,
yeah.
if Obama won both, it would... I don't know, I think it would have just skyrocketed him, and that would have been it. Like, I want it to be more interesting still.
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that all the polls were all wrong...
All wrong,
you know,
heard,
that was
yeah.
a whole big story about that, too. But,
that's right.
But what was interesting is I was watching CBC Sunday, News Sunday this morning,
mm-hmm.
And they were talking... Evan Solomon, one of the co-hosts, went down to Florida and interviewed Maya Angelou.
Oh, yeah?
And... And the story was that she has publicly backed Hillary Clinton, while Oprah, which she mentored, Oprah Winfrey, and they are very influential and are almost joined at the hip in some public ways and so forth in terms
and
of their influence.
I'm sure.
And Oprah has has backed Obama. And so there's this difference.
Yeah.
Right? And he was like, so, you know, do you guys argue about it or do you ask why? And it was very interesting, like an interview, like I was very drawn to, like, hey, what is there a cat fight or whatever? But no, she said, you know, we never really asked. We never really talk about it.
Well, I think that makes sense.
She says, apparently, well, she and Oprah apparently talk every third or fourth day. Like, they talk regularly,
sure.
Right?
That's cool.
And she was like, no, I'm a smart woman, and I know my reasons why I'm backing Hillary Clinton. And, you know, and she goes into some of that saying, like, you know, she's a big believer in backing the one that brought you there kind of thing. And how she's talking about a 20-year history with the Clintons and over that 20 years, she has earned her respect in every way. And, you know,
I couldn't disagree, and
Oprah has gone another route, which is totally fine. She says, I know Oprah. She's a smart woman. She knows her reasons why, and that's fine.
See, that's respectful.
And I just think, now, if only the political discussion can be about that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like just because you back different people doesn't mean you like someone or you hate someone else for doing that or whatever. It's just, you have to come with the basis of saying, you know, we're all smart people.
Mm-hmm.
We all have different ways of evaluating who we want to back or
mm-hmm.
who we agree with or what our political views are.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you have that foundation of mutual respect, that even though you disagree with someone's point of view, at least you understand that it's a thoughtful view, or you give that person the benefit of the doubt that it's a thoughtful view, then you can have a much better discussion. And I think right now is, like, if you don't agree with me, then you must be stupid, which is kind of the rhetoric you hear all the time, right? And you're like,
it gets tiring.
Yeah. So I was refreshed. It was a nice interview.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder what Gail thinks, or Stedman. That's for you, Tara.
Oh, God.
That's very interesting. It's a good viewpoint, because Maya Angelou, I mean, that's someone that, you know, written a lot, obviously, has a big spiritual grip on a lot of people.
Right.
And I don't think that's a bad thing, the way, like, that comes across. I think it's just like Oprah, but different. Oprah's kind of just has a grip on everyone because she gives away free cars. But, and tries to change the world. But, no, that's awesome. What else do you have on your list that you want to get to?
I do want to talk about, it's funny, I was like, I wrote this, it looks like I said, shower on Friday. Why do I want to tell people that I took a shower on Friday?
Did you forget to shower on Friday? Or?
Maybe I did, but actually, what it says show on Friday. I wanted to say that I was at your show on Friday, and I didn't tell you guys that I was going to come because I wasn't quite sure when I would be able to go,
mm-hmm.
and I did show up, and I was kind of surprised, Sean. Make him feel really excited that I'm there, because I can bring such excitement into your life.
And you
I,
did.
I do come. but it was a lot of fun. It was a great show. I hadn't seen you guys in a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I think the last time was the farewell show, quote-unquote.
Yes.
What I was really pleased, and you guys, what I love about your band, which is, you know, the Nine Circa,
mm-hmm.
The one that I saw perform,
yes,
is just how, I mean, I've seen you guys for probably at least a dozen times or so overall, right? And just from the arc of seeing you from the first shows
mm-hmm.
to now, it's just pretty amazing around. So I've said this before, but the comfort level on stage now, and how the interaction, the showmanship is really there now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Kev, too, I had to talk to him on Friday after the show, I said, you know what I really love is one of the last shows I saw was one of Kev's first one with the band.
Yes.
And it was just, you know, you could, I mean, maybe it was, I just noticing because I knew it was his first show and he was kind of, you know, probably a little bit nervous and getting out there and everything. And it was still a great show the first time he was there. But what I found really great is that it was so, like, he was right there with everyone as if, like, he had been there since the beginning.
Totally.
And it's, everyone's gelled so well together, and, you know, like, I thought, it's a well-oiled machine right now, in a good way. I don't want to say that, like, you know, you're just phoning it in now,
right.
You know what I mean? But I thought that was great. I was glad to be there.
Well, that's awesome. I'm super glad you came out. It was a very pleasant surprise, because you know how it is these days, like, with schedules and availability and being able to catch everything. We all want to catch everything, and it was really great that you were able to come by. And familiar face, someone who, you know, likes to come see the band, and you know three of the band members really well, obviously. It's totally true what you're saying about Kev, because I think he's been playing with us for about 6 or 8 months now, and it's totally, totally spot on, like, what you were saying. Like, he's right in there, enjoying himself. It's like he's been playing with us for years. It's really great being on stage with Kevin. We've been in different musical projects before, and to be back with him is outstanding. So,
and the trumpet playing is very strong now. Like, the first time I was like, okay, he's a little bit apprehensive or not. I mean, not you know, like,
yeah,
you know, and but it was just there.
Yeah,
on Friday. It was great.
He's really feeling it, and really just kind of knowing where to go and when to hold back and when to just full on. And different trumpet style than the last couple of trumpet voices we've had in the band. And,
yes,
But it's great. And I think this is probably the best incarnation of the band since the beginning. Aaron, Elaine, myself, Kevin, and Cam, we all kind of feed off each other now. And we get really excited for the shows, you know, like when they do happen. And I think we do have a good rapport with the audience. One thing I want to mention about that, since we were talking about it, was that with Cam getting in the white clothes and handing out markers, people drawing them while he was playing, that was really clever. None of us knew he was going to do that. I don't think any of us knew. I certainly didn't. And a lot of people dug that. You know, it was like, wow, okay, well, you don't really see that happen. And he really held his own while people were drawing on him, like he was focusing, you know, and getting through the song. So I thought that was really fun, and we'll hopefully continue to do different things like that to keep it interesting and as well as get some new songs going. So very happy to see you come out. That was awesome.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was the Oscar Peterson tribute concert.
Yeah!
which, I mean, obviously it was a sad thing when Oscar Peterson died at 82, December 23rd, and we talked about it before in the podcast, but on Saturday, which was last night, they had a free concert, a tribute concert at Roy Thomson Hall in Toronto, and it was broadcast on the CBC, and I ran back from Home Depot to catch it and listen to it, and it's actually streaming online, so actually we'll give a link to it as well.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
But what was kind of funny, I just wanted to say a few things. One is Nancy Wilson performed. And Nancy Wilson was number one on my list of things podcast to say Save Your Love For Me, which is still a brilliant song. And I have a little clip on our website of that song, so it's on there so you can hear it if people haven't heard it yet. I love again about that song. It's great. But it was funny. I couldn't stop laughing because she's saying the weirdest version of Goodbye.
Oh.
And
really?
Oh, gosh.
Was it out there? Or?
It was out there.
Whoa.
I mean, the best version I know is the Shirley Horn version on her I Love You Paris live CD.
Yes.
And so I knew the song, and then there goes Nancy Wilson. And
I
was shocked. I don't want to say anything except for that it was not my cup of tea, but...
Fair enough.
But, so I thought I'd mention that. And also the fact that in the whole concert, and when people were telling their stories about Oscar...
Mm-hmm.
They talked a lot about sort of his humanity. I mean, the Governor General spoke about his humanity and how a lot of, you know, civil rights and activities that he did, and, you know, groundbreaking things with racial issues in music and in band at the time and in jazz at the time. So a lot of that, if anyone knows any history about jazz or about, you know, Oscar Peterson himself, that's really clear. But just, again, people talking about, you know, the big smile he had when he played, or the practical joke, or just about his spirit of how he was always about doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it just... And basically the Governor General mentioned, you know, we should all strive to be more like Oscar, basically, you know, to say yes to human decency, to civil rights, no to exclusion, and all these different things. And it brought me from one link to another link in my mind was about... a podcast that I had heard years ago.
Okay.
This is February 2006 when I was in Banff. I had downloaded these podcasts onto my iPod from UBC, the University of British Columbia.
Yeah.
And they have all these free lectures that they had done podcasts on. And I just checked the other day before getting here today to see if it was still online. So I think you can search for UBC on iTunes for their different podcasts. And they have a whole bunch of them, but they don't have this one on anymore. It was a lecture by Mary Gordon, who had a program called Roots of Empathy. And I didn't know.
I heard a bit of that on CBC.
Oh yeah. Actually, it was on CBC, so
yes.
maybe we should try to find a link to it somewhere.
I think so. It's been on that Oscar Peterson documentary they've been doing a few days in a row now. That was fascinating.
But there's this this program that this is Mary Gordon, I don't know what her background is, maybe psychologist or something, but it was about her program going into schools where elementary schools, and you would bring babies into elementary schools. And so it's a really weird...
Huh.
So it's a very... very weird link from Oscar Peterson in Humanity to something very different. Or maybe you're thinking Mary Gordon is in the person who owned the Village Vanguard. I think that her name was Gordon something.
Maybe I'm getting mixed up.
But Mary Gordon, and she wrote a book, and she's based out of Toronto, and it was about, again, the roots of empathy. When people think about human rights and about,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you have to have a strong
mm-hmm.
empathetic...
You can't fake it.
Point in your, you know, and she's like, well, where is the root of that? Where is the beginnings of that, right? And you think about elementary school, where it can be kind of cruel at certain points, you know,
mm-hmm.
in elementary school, where people tease people and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they discover that when you bring babies into elementary school class, everyone comes together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when the baby is trying to struggle to lift his or her head up or to roll over the first time.
Right.
Everyone just, like, cheering for that baby to succeed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can empathize with that situation. And then later on, they make links like later on then when what would have normally happened where if someone didn't know how to ride a bike by a certain age, they would be teased. But if they go through this experience, then they'd be more supportive. Oh, well, let me see how I can help you out to get onto this bike.
Right.
You know? And so it showed that connection with babies at that early age and exploring that empathetic side of you, it helped you out later in life. It created people with a soul like
yeah.
Oscar Peterson's. You know, so that's where my link was going. And it's just fascinating. I just wanted to mention that.
That's really cool.
That we'll try to find a link somewhere. I mean, I know she was... When I mentioned it, like, I was traveling to some board meetings, which is why I had it on my iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to someone about it because I just heard it. And one of the people at the meeting said, oh, right, yeah, there was something on Ideas, which is a CBC broadcast show,
okay.
right? And
oh,
we
yeah.
talked about that.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's on there somewhere that I can find it. We'll post a link if we can.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's such a fascinating story. And if anything, a link to her website and to her program. I think the province of BC, which is where we're at,
mm-hmm.
Was thinking about funding a similar program here.
That's cool.
And it's just, like, I was floored at that, you know. Like, I think if people have that empathetic peace in their soul
mm-hmm.
and in the end just want to do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
then whether or not it's the wrong thing, at least it's coming from a solid place,
yes,
right?
Yes, foundation, yeah.
So, anyways, that was my little piece.
I think that's a really good point. I think a lot of people may not have had an experience that would create that kind of empathy, perhaps. Because you know that Oscar Peterson obviously had, you know, many moments earlier in his career, coming through the system, like the jazz world, facing a lot of resistance or like a lot of just the whole race issue. And he obviously had a place where he could come from that not only, like I heard on this documentary, like when he was talking about, for instance, okay, well, you know, there's it.
Okay, Sean, spin it.
Sorry.
We're losing momentum. Ooh,
sorry.
Look at the levels of that one.
Oh, sorry. We're going to edit that. Okay, here we start again. Pause. Okay, so like I was saying, just because if you come from a certain background or a certain ethnic or background or color,
yep.
doesn't mean that everyone in that community does the same thing,
right.
acts the same way, interests in the same things. I just thought that was an interesting way to put it, like hearing him on that broadcast, and it makes a lot of sense because, you know, every corner of every community, there's a lot of things that bring people together.
Right.
And But I think what's happening is that there's a lot of communities where that's not happening.
Yep.
So when they look out their window and it's like, well, I'm not communicating with anyone, I'm not joining in on anything, I feel isolated, therefore I don't have a empathy, perhaps. You know
right.
what I mean? And I think that's one of the things he touched on. So I thought that was
yeah.
that was really nice that you brought that up, because I think a lot of people can draw from that.
Yeah.
You know, and that just goes with, even with climate change, right?
Right.
It's like, why should I care about polar bears? I'm not in the Arctic. I'm not, I don't survive on hunting polar bears. I don't, you
right.
know what I mean?
But they make great fur coats.
Yeah, we're going to edit that as well. But yeah, but you know what I mean? So it's kind of looking inside, I think, and just finding, okay, what do I feel strongly about? What affects me? And just teaching, not teaching others or preaching, but giving examples maybe, or like what you always say, it's not about just tolerance. Tolerating each other is just the bare minimum. Like, tolerating sounds like you're just putting a face on something.
Right.
But it's about, I think the word acceptance is better.
Yes.
And I, ever since he said that, like a few years ago, if not more, I think about that
wow.
all the time. When everyone preaches tolerance, I'm like, no, that's not there yet. Like
right.
that, it's, maybe it's accept someone for their differences.
Well, it's funny, like, I had blowback from that. I said it once, probably even before I said it to you, and someone said back to me, but that's asking a lot of people to accept someone. Like, maybe all we can ask for is just to tolerate them, not to, you know? And I'm like, okay, I can see that, like, the half-empty, half-full
okay.
glass kind of thing, you know? I can see, like, you know, if you can strive for tolerance, that's all we can strive for. But I've never been one like that. I'm
no.
like, I think acceptance can still, there's still varying levels of acceptance. I mean, you know?
Definitely.
Just,
like, accepting your, like, a lot of parents from an older generation who might have a child who happens to be gay. Like,
right.
you don't want to just tolerate that. You want to accept that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as an example.
And
yeah.
I think acceptance and tolerance, for me, it's not about, like, whether you agree or disagree, is it's that feeling. Like, tolerance is still based on, well, you can hate the thing, just don't say it. Like,
yeah,
I just want hate to be out of the equation.
Yeah.
Acceptance removes hate.
Yeah.
And that, for me, is the big difference.
That's a good
like,
point.
I don't want people to tolerate, which means they hate it, but they'll just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, acceptance, I don't think you have to go on the extreme of acceptance, which is, you love it, I'm going to do the exact same way I am. Like, if someone who isn't gay, I don't think they should be expected to say, I accept you because you're gay, and I'm going to be gay because you're gay. Like,
right.
like that doesn't make sense either.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
But, you know, to be happy that someone's happy. And I don't think hate should be generated from someone else's happiness.
No.
Like, I think, like, no. I mean, just to use the gay example, because we're on this topic, like, if someone is gay and is in love because
yeah.
of that,
and happy
and everything, then why should someone have hate because someone has found joy? Like, I don't get that.
And that's just the root of it, no matter what, like, religious convictions, ideological convictions or whatever, it still comes down to that root
right.
problem. Yeah.
And I think, you know, people talk about, you know, it's human rights or whatever, but I think it's just human decency. Like, I
yeah.
just don't, a fundamental thing, like, I shouldn't hate because someone is happy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
I know there's Schadenfreude and all, but that's like, but I'm looking at the clock, we're at 43
yeah.
and we could go on forever on this
we
topic
could.
And we should go on forever on this topic
we
at
will
some
come
point.
Back. Yeah.
But we've got, I figure let's try to aim for 45.
Well, okay, we got like a minute.
So, and I was thinking, like, at the end of the last podcast, I think we were saying that we should talk about, I mean, not to, I mean, this is the first one of 2008,
yeah.
so we should talk about not resolutions, New
no.
Year's resolutions, but,
yeah.
like, I don't know if you have any commitments, and I was thinking about, like, for me, and maybe I'll just say mine so that we just get the ball rolling on this, is, like, it was very powerful, I said at the end of the last podcast, that at the beginning of the year, I said to myself, I committed to myself to accepting the fact that I wasn't happy and that things needed change. I had no idea what that meant. And that was my commitment to myself. It wasn't a resolution, it wasn't saying I'm going to lose 10 pounds or I'm not, whatever, just...
Right.
admit to something and
yeah.
then commit to taking action, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was thinking, well, what do I want to commit to in this year, 2008? And I figured it out.
Okay.
I'm going to, my commitment to myself is to figure out women. I've decided, and it's sounding trite, and it's sounding really bad, and it's sounding desperate, but when I think about aspects of life, right? And I'm thinking, you know what I just don't get? I just don't get women. And people ask me all the time, so are you seeing anyone? Or are you even looking? Or people don't even ask me because it's been a while since my last, you know, fairly, I think, legitimate relationship in
certain
ways, you could say. I've had, you know, various different adventures since then, right? But I just know that's an area in my life that I've ignored purposefully or made attempts that I don't understand, you know?
You kind of say, oh, let's just leave that. And,
exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I don't know what that means, but I and I just know that I, like, it's not about love and it's not about commitment. It's not about relationships. Like, I know those pieces. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I want to talk again about marriage and stuff because I...
We will come back.
I have... After our first podcast, I'm so glad we started with that one because I've been thinking about that podcast ever since and I want to come back to it because the more and more I think about it,
mm-hmm.
the more and more I'm... Like, I'm exactly where you are.
Yeah.
On the topic. And so in that sense, like, I understand what relationship means. I understand what that commitment piece is. But I just don't understand women. I mean, that's the thing. I don't quite figure that out. And I know there's some, like, dating rules and stuff like that I just
mm-hmm.
don't get either. But I think it's not really about that at the end, right?
I don't think so.
And so I hate to say it out loud because I sound really desperate by saying that out loud. But I do want to mention it and I do want to say it out loud because I think that's my commitment to myself. Is that I have to figure that out. And what is it, whether it means, I don't want to say, like, at the end of the year I want to be in a relationship or I want, you know.
Like a goal,
like,
set a date.
That's
yeah.
not the goal. The goal for me, the commitment is that to realize that, hey, I'm no good at that stuff. I'm this is an area in which I'm all thumbs.
Hmm.
And that I want to work on it. I don't know what that means yet. I have no idea what that means yet. But
well,
that is a commitment for myself for 2008.
Well, I think that's a good commitment. I think as well, I already have a response to that or something to add, but I'm going to save it for episode 5.
Yes, we already passed 46.
I'm going to come up with what I think might be a good answer to that.
I think we should talk about... we should reserve episode 5 talking about topics like gay marriage, like relationships, and our thoughts on all those things. I want to revisit
marriage.
Want to
go on full on kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, I think we should commit episode 5 on that. I would, and that's the one that's got the most response from people, and
okay.
I would love to revisit that and just...
Let's make it a plan.
Yeah, so...
I think we can do that.
But anyways, but we're over 2 minutes, of course. This always happens. But do you have anything in your mind that you're thinking of working on, or you can reserve that till next week if you want, or next couple of weeks if you want to think about it? Like, anything in your life that you want to just say, you know, I'd love to work on that.
You know, I think maybe I do. I think I have a lot in my life that I'm happy about, obviously.
Yeah.
I have a lot to be thankful for, but there's one thing that that I want to do. And that is eat better.
Mm, okay.
I don't think I eat bad, but...
Well, compared to me, I always think you eat beautifully.
I think Elaine and I are on a track to having optimum... Not optimum, I hate that word. Better, more consistent nutritional value going. And I think we're going to work on that, like, as a team. We were thinking a lot about ways to just feel better, like, on a day-to-day basis. And I think I'll go into this more next time, but I think that's going to be for me. It's like an ongoing thing. It'll be 2009, 2010.
Right.
And I've been thinking a lot about diet lately. So not dieting, but
right.
our diets. So
oh,
I think that's mine.
There was on CBC News Sunday, they talked about, like... diet for dollars for diet or something. There's a whole
okay.
thing where people lose weight and you get a dollar.
Oh yeah.
And that's, and if you gain weight, you give a dollar.
Oh.
And when you think about that, I just thought about that. It was a very interesting story, actually. It says a lot about psychology and how monetary incentive is really...
It's really everything.
It is.
Yeah.
But anyways, but that's really interesting. That's,
Yeah, it's not that exciting, but it's not like
well.
Figuring out women or anything. But I'll have plenty to say about that, as you know, I always do.
So now
all
we're
right.
going to end it in about 50 minutes. And
that's
a
okay.
nice long
I think,
one.
I think those are good final thoughts, Justin.
Yeah.
I think we'll just bring on the music now and fade out. And let's look forward to next time. Thanks for listening, everybody. And please, if you have a comment, especially about anything ER related, please let us know. Can let us know on the site, and feel free to put any feedback on iTunes if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear from you, and I think we're gonna sign off.
I think that's the topic. That's the name of our podcast. Any comments that are ER related?
Okay, there we go. Now
that way it will highlight that fact that I really want to know what happened to Dr. Moretti.
You're really excited about knowing.
Okay, well, that was good.
All right, thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Sean.
And we'll see you next time. Be gentle.
Absolutely.